From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The bombing and the fighting continue today in the Middle East. Israeli warplanes hit targets across Lebanon, including north of Beirut, where much of the country's Christian population lives. Israel bombed the main road to Syria. It was the last land route for humanitarian supplies. Israel says it was also a route for weapons. And Lebanese officials say 27 farm workers died when a bomb hit a fruit farm near the Syrian border.
On the other side of the conflict, Hezbollah fired more rockets into Israel today, killing at least 3 civilians and wounding dozens. Rockets reached the city of Hadera, about 50 miles from the Lebanese border. 3 Israeli soldiers were reportedly killed in ground fighting with Hezbollah guerrillas.
The fighting between Israel and Hezbollah has dominated the news for weeks. But while it's been going on, Israeli forces have also intensified their operations in Gaza. The wave of violence began in late June when Palestinian militants kidnapped an Israeli soldier. In addition to nightly airstrikes, dozens of tanks and other armored vehicles have moved to the outskirts of Rafah, a town that straddles Gaza's border with Egypt. NPR's Anne Garrels reports.
3 Palestinians were killed overnight outside Rafah. The funeral processions for 2 militants and a 3-week-old baby drew crowds of keening women and angry young men with automatic weapons. In the past month, Israeli forces have killed over 170 and wounded hundreds more, many of them civilians, according to both Palestinian and UN officials. Before attacking the homes of suspected militants, Israeli officials sometimes give a warning. For Omar al-Hatib, a self-confessed resistance fighter with Islamic Jihad, the call came just before midnight.
They called me on my mobile the moment I left my house. And he said, this is Captain Ami from the Israeli intelligence. Even when he called me by my nickname. Go back to your house, evacuate the house, we will bombard it.
The house was destroyed 10 minutes later. As his family sifts through the rubble, 32-year-old Omar says he will not give in to Israeli pressure and will never accept an Israeli state. While not surprised he was targeted, others, like Omar al-Mamouk, say they have nothing to do with militants. As he surveys the pile of cement that until last week was his family home, Omar laughs bitterly. Caught, he says, between the Israelis and the religious fanatics he also hates. Some who've received phone calls warning them to abandon their homes have yet to be bombed. They call it a cruel mind game. Well over 1,000 have fled their homes. Along with their camels and goats, 60 poor farming families camp out under the blazing sun with no ready access to water or sanitation. As 45-year-old Nasser al-Kashif displays shards of shrapnel from the shell which destroyed his house, he calls the Israeli military incursion revenge, stupid revenge which will backfire. Many are still stuck in their houses under fire. This woman called into a radio station begging for water and medicine. For John Ging, director of operations for the UN Relief and Works Agency, the Israeli incursion is the latest strain on a population already suffering from an international economic boycott of the Hamas-led Palestinian Authority.
The public sector was actually collapsing. And then we move on to this military operation. And this military operation, of course, has killed a lot of people. It's resulted in a lot of death and injury. And it has also resulted in destruction of the infrastructure, most notably the power plant, which was providing 43% of the electricity to the Gaza Strip.
While Ging acknowledges Israeli citizens under Palestinian rocket fire are also living in fear, he asks how destroying an electricity plant is related to security. The head of Israel's Gaza Liaison Administration has said the situation in Gaza is not even close to developing into a humanitarian crisis, a statement Ging disputes.
It's a crisis for you because it's very dangerous. You have no salary. you have no prospect of having a salary. You're depending on handouts. We at UNRWA feed 820,000 people. So 820,000 people depend on our food assistance to survive.
That's 200,000 more than just a month ago. And Ging says there's no way out.
The only border that Palestinians can cross through at Rafah has been closed since the 28th of June. They're trapped.
Fishermen, forced to stay close to shore by the Israelis, have watched their catch and their income plummet. Riyad al-Sharafi has run out of credit to buy food for his family, but he says the militants were right in taking the Israeli soldier in order to gain the release of thousands of Palestinians held in Israeli jails. John Ging from the UN says the mood of Palestinians in Gaza has hardened dramatically.
The mindset here is now very much going in the wrong direction, away from the political path to peace. The political path to peace requires an outlook of compromise, of understanding, of tolerance, and so on and so forth. People who feel a sense of siege, imprisonment, persecution, punishment, they do not have that outlook.
Anne Garrels, NPR News, Gaza.